where to begin. What we're witnessing today, I'll try not to be all broken out. Boy, when it hits me, it hits me. We're unfolding in a miracle, is what we see. Because what we have here is a product that God has been working on for a long time. And that's this. And he's definitely had his hands full. And this woman right here can attest to that. I don't know if you all know, but me and Laura are cousins. She's known me since I was knee-high with a grasshopper. So I'm going to have to calm some. I was all set to do the service, which I'd done once before, and it's like, not too bad. But the message is a little bit different. But what God showed me was, I'm not going to be preaching, and I'm not going to be teaching. This is actually a message from God that he showed me, kind of about me, and the way believers are supposed to grow. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a rocket scientist. To be honest, I never even graduated from high school. I quit. When I left there, I was basically illiterate. So therefore, this is part of the miracle. Okay. How can somebody with illiterate stand here and speak about God? It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. So take this and bring it in to yourself. God can use this vessel. What can he do for the rest of us? The sky's the limit. The only thing that can stop him is us. And that song earlier, The Stand, I mean, it just flows right with us. I'm making a stand. That's all I'm doing. It's not me. It's what God has done in me. So I may not use the proper English. I may not speak elegantly. Dude, I can't even do that. So please do not let that hinder the Spirit of God at your heart and your mind. So don't look at me, how it comes out. Look at what the Lord is trying to say to each individual heart, your own heart, and your own mind. Because there's many people here, there's going to be many people hearing this. Everything that the Spirit says is not just for one person. It's broken up because there's so many people. And they have a short amount of time, and he wants to get his particular point across to each and every individual. Okay? And a few weeks ago, Reggie gave a message, and he talked about how God gave him a story. And he told the story. That was really good. That following Monday, when I got up, in my quiet time, the Lord gave me this. Just sleep. Three hearts. Yeah. Sin before Christ. And I know a little bit about that because I spent basically half my life in sin. Didn't even know it. You know, you go through life, you're thinking that I'm an average person, good person, you know, things are great. You do these things that are so wicked in the eyes of God. But you don't even realize it. And then one day the Lord will come and he'll wake you up. At least he didn't mean it. I was in my late 20s, early 30s, somewhere around 19. And then 92, 93, I was working down in Exeter pouring concrete. And when I left that morning, because I stayed down there because I live up here, and there was a voice in my head, and it was telling me, there's more to life than where you're living. And that voice was consistent. It never stopped. It would just keep repeating, until it was either Thursday or Friday, I can't remember. I was doing a tip down off a sidewalk, and I'm running the boat floor. It's that voice still. And but I realized that that voice was right. And for some reason, all I did was just look up and said, if you're right. And from that moment, I had not been sick. A light came on. And it started changing me. It started changing my mind, my heart. And I would see things so different than I ever saw them before. So, and this is what I see this week, and this is what the Lord was showing me. And sorry about that, that was me. I'm a really good artist, if you all notice. See the stick figure way down here? That's one of my best. This here is the mountain. We've probably all heard about the mountaintop experience, okay? But the Lord says, where are you? That's what he's asking me, he's asking all of you. Where are you on this journey to the mountaintop? And I had to ask myself, which I'm asking you all to ask yourself, where are you? I got a bunch of questions for you guys today. You guys are actually the teachers and the preachers, but to yourself. Because God knows where I'm at, and that's what he told me. God knows where you guys are at. So we have to be honest with ourselves and God. So, on this journey, when you figure out where you're at, you need to make sure that you're enjoying it. Because you can be down here in the valley and still enjoy it. When you get to the mountaintop, you can enjoy it. But you also don't miss the stuff in between. There's a lot goes on there. That's what makes us grow. You know? And it'll also make the mountaintop more worth it. I think, anyways. And when he gave me this, it's 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. And I don't have them all down here. And the reason being is, he gave me specific ones to hit on. And maybe it's because it's something that I need to work on. Maybe it's something somebody here needs to work on. But if you look, so he says, love is patient and love is kind. Which most of us know that. But if I'm not patient and I'm not kind, what causes me not to be that way? You know, what in my life, my childhood, what brought me to that point? And if I can go back and figure that out and overcome that, then I can have patience, I can be kind. But there's usually always a reason why we can't conquer these things. And as Steve gave a message on backsliding, I mean, it's the same thing. You're walking on your path. You know, you're going up the mountain. And yeah, you're working on being patient, you know. So yeah, you may backslide back a little bit. But if you catch yourself, you know, through the Spirit of God, you don't come all the way back down here. You stop up here and you're like, oh, I need to work on patience some more. And then it does not envy. Okay? So don't be envy of anybody. I mean, they're like, what do we got to be envy of? If we know Christ, Christ is in us. We're part of the most glorious thing ever. That blood runs through us. Nothing to have any envy over. Like the Joneses? And so they say, right? The Joneses? Keep up with the Joneses? Who wants to keep up with them? I don't. I'm going to try to keep up with God. You know? It does not boast. It is not proud. If you notice, that's a little more direct. You don't boast. And you're not supposed to be proud. To me, that's pretty key. It's got to be. Because he says not to. And I'll be honest, at one time, I was pretty proud. Thought I had it. Thought I was something. But I was wrong. And I thank God that he showed me that. You know? I mean, I'm glad I ain't going through life now and pat myself on the back, thinking I'm something and not. You know, I can stand here before people. I know other people are gonna watch this and hear this, and they may be like, have you literate? Who's he think he is? But I'll tell you, I'm a child of God, the Most High. That's why. That's why I find my confidence. You know, it's not in me anymore. Because if it was, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out there someplace. And I really wouldn't care about anybody in here. But I do. Because of God. And the body. We're all part of that body that was mentioned earlier. And I need you guys. And you guys need me. And I don't say that. Why? I see it's because of what God says. We need each other. Or if we're going to be part of the problem in this world, we're going to be part of the solution. And I'm determined to make a stand and be part of the solution for God. No matter what I look like. So you have sin before Christ. And then this is what the Lord wants us to work on, I believe, is love. This is all about love. Mm-hmm. Who was given a message not too long ago, and how many times have Reggie mentioned, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, I've said it before. You guys have probably all said it. God, I love you. Which is nothing wrong with that. But how about being in love with God? The next level. You know? I mean, don't you want your spouse to be in love with you? You want to just love you. Right, Barbara? speak that. And say, all right, Nick, and send a message. And Laura was over this week visiting, and she had a story about that. And it's just hit me, and I'm sitting there amazed at what she's saying. I'm like, God, you're so good. I just bring everything together. You know, all the songs, the words in the heart. How many times did we hear the word heart this morning? What do we got to hear? Three hearts. You know, I mean, if this ain't the Spirit of God trying to help us to outgrow and mature and be more like Christ, then we all might as well just go out that door and never come back. But it is. It is. And that's what draws us all here, is that the Spirit of God. But when we leave here, we don't leave God here. Okay? We don't leave our armor here. We take it with us. And we're going to go out into that world. And we're going to share this with people that God puts in our path. And there's people out there that we're going to come across that's actually not the people we're supposed to speak to. And when you're in tune with the Spirit, He will let you know. Because there's people that are not going to listen to me, but there's people who will. And if I waste my time and God's time speaking into the person who's not going to hear me, and not speaking to the one who's going to, it's not very effective. I mean, I know we were kind of taught, you know, that just speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, which is true, but at the right time, at the right moment. And I know in the last almost 30 years of walking with God, I learned that. And sometimes the things you have to say to somebody, it's not pleasant. You know, it's just not. But I'll guarantee you, because I know it, I've been through it. If you're obedient, and you are doing what God is saying to do, whatever you speak to that person, change their life. They will hear it. God will honor that. So, let's not boast. Let's not be proud. It is not rude. Sometimes I used to be pretty rude. I don't know about anybody in here. I mean, I don't know everybody well enough, but as the Lord told me, He says, Dan, there's nobody who knows you better than you, except for me. Right? There's nobody that knows any one of you better than you, and except for God. And I don't care how long we've been together. I've been together with my wife over 40 years. And I don't know her in a sense, not like God does, not like she knows herself. Same goes with the rest of us. So we can try to fool ourselves, which I've done. Can't fool God. And if you in tune with God and the Spirit, all those areas that you try to fool Him, He'll keep bringing it back to you. Dan, you can't fool me yet. Can't fool me yet. I know better. Now you need to know better than Him. And it's a blessing that God chastises us. I know when some people hear that, they don't think of God that way, that God doesn't discipline and chastise. But that type of mindset is somebody who does not know God. And I say that on the Word of God, because God Himself says that chastise those whom I love. And that is saying that God doesn't love you. And that is 100% wrong. If you say that, like God said it, you're fooling yourself. We need to accept that. That God is going to chastise us. And thank God that He does. Just like I had to my children. Doesn't mean you like it. But if you want your child to do right, chastise them. It is not self-seeking. Anybody in here had an issue with that? Because I had a huge one. I mean, no sense in me trying to hide it. I mean, I did. Very self-seeking. And if I ain't careful, like Steve's message, I can backslide. I gotta catch myself. To me, it's kind of like an easy one for me. I got to keep a good eye on it. Self-centered. What's best for me, not others. You know, just, I don't know why. As individuals, we struggle with certain ones. It's probably stuff that we've gone through or, you know, maybe something, our parents or something. I mean, I don't have the answers, trust me, of why. But I do have the answer of how to overcome it. That I do have, and that's in Christ, and I think most everybody does know that. But you gotta press on. You gotta be determined. It's not gonna be easy. God ain't just gonna go up and be like, and go or Bob, you will have no more self-seeking. Boom, gone. I'm not saying you can't do it. But you gotta learn. To me, it still goes back to this, the process of going up this mountain. What you learn, you grow, you mature, and it will help you not to backslide. I mean, I don't know about you guys, what your goal is. I have at least two that I'll share. One is, when I die, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? The lungs of mine is heard. This is what I want to do. I want to walk God. I want to walk in all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. I want to walk my neighbor as myself. Jude, could you grab that Luke 10, 28? Please. Yeah. The moment you grab them, then, oh, you already got it. Okay.
Is this one? Or 25 or 28, yeah, you don't want to be close to that.
Okay. It's, Luke 25. Okay, I'm going to read this out of this word, okay? It says, on one occasion, an experienced in the law stood up to test Jesus. And boy, what a quite experienced as he thought he was. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? To me, that's very key. How do you read it? You have a man that's experienced, not like this boy right here, but this man knows the law. He probably is a theologian. He is an expert. He's no dummy. He's not a, you know, ninth grade dropout. And yet, how do you read it? That's God's question to us. This word. When we read it, how do we read it? Do we read it with a mindset of, like, being boastful, prideful? You know, I know all this. I know that. We probably read this book. Not you guys, but. I mean, you could read this book 100 times, not read it right. I bet you I've only read 5% of it, to be honest with you. If I was to guess. But how did I read it? That's been a big issue of my life. Because I can't read. So everything I do read is from the Spirit of God. I mean, I thank God now that I never learned how to read. And it seems strange, but I'm telling you, I do. You know? And it's just so amazing. So I can read it the way God wants me to read it, which is actually through the Spirit of God, because it's the only way I can do it. Yeah. He answered, Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Knew the answer, but he didn't know what it meant. Did not know what it meant. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Poor man. I feel sorry for him. Probably, I don't know, 100 times the knowledge in it that I have. And I'll take my 10% of wisdom that God has given me to understand this over all that knowledge. Yep. I really will. There's more things in life than knowing stuff. And that's God. Actually knowing God, having wisdom of God. And then, I'm sorry, Jerry, because you were already on the First Corinthians. And I asked Steve if he would read this, because for some reason I can't read this one. The Spirit ain't going to give me. And if you could just read it, Steve, from do you have it or do you want to use this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one is it?
First Corinthians 13. You can just read down the 4 where it stops where love is patient. You can stop there.
So 1 and 4?
Yeah, 1 down through the 4. Okay. So 1 and 2.
Well, let's read it together. If I speak in the languages of men and angels, but do not have love, I have a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have any gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith, so that I can move mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing.
If I
have any all my goods to be before, if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not disputed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think we can see the importance of love in the eyes of God. And I'm not saying this is going to be an easy journey. I know it hasn't been for me, but it's been a joyful journey. I've really appreciated what God has done in me and through me. And see, what was that other thing that you read this week?
Can you read that?
Yeah.
About the church?
Yeah, about the church.
Well, I gotta say one thing real quick, and I'm not bragging, I'm stating the fact. I had 17 years of education, 12 high school and 5 college. And this guy over here calls me on a regular basis and challenges me about scriptural things, at least 2 or 3 times a week. So it has no bearing on what your education is. It's way high, which is not. This is kind of all about. I read something the other day talking about the church. And the church is, first of all, a place where Christ is present. It's a place where a community, I have to read my writing here, where it's a community of messed up people who are real. They can be real here and they can be healed here. Where outcasts are loved, where underdogs find a champion, where the hopeless find hope, where the friendless find a friend, where slaves find freedom, where the hungry find food, where the homeless find shelter. That's what the church is.
And I think that most of us, if not all of us, that's our goal. And to be one body, to be a family, to respect one another, no matter where we come from, what we like. Silence. Sometimes God just says, "Be still and know that I'm God." It's amazing what God can do in a person's heart, in our minds, and in our lives. And the people's lives are around us. We'll do mighty things. But always I have just the faith of the mustard seed. This is more of a oral report than anything. And last week, when we were having our intro questions to the message, one of mine was that I never gave a whole report in school. I never dared to get up in front of people and talk. I just would not do it. Another miracle. Just another miracle in my life that God gives me the courage. So I didn't mind getting an F back in school. But think about what God is calling each and every one of you guys to do. Where to step out. Let's just say an oral report. Are you going to do it? Or are you going to take a nap? Because this time, the F is from God. Not the school teacher. I didn't mind taking that one from the teacher, but I don't want to take that one from God. I'd rather stand here and let people think whatever they want to think. You know, whatever goes through somebody's heart and mind about me, that is between them and God. And I hope and pray we all feel the same way. Because if we can ever break through that fear, don't let it hold us back. It's amazing what we're going to be able to do for God in this world. I think we still could change it. Maybe we can, but we don't know if we don't try. We just put our hearts, our souls, and our minds to it, we can move mountains with faith. Trust me, God. So my other point, another question God has is, where are we here? Oh, it is not easily angered. Do we get angry easy? I know I used to. I was struggling with some the other day. I had to call I was very friendly. I was gone like that, going back to peace and joy. All these things keeps us from this. It does. Whether if we want to accept it, believe it or not. But if you can't get this down, and if I can't get this down, how can you love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind? Keeps no record of wrong. How many of us have a book up here of people that have wronged us? You know? I used to. Not anymore. And like I said, it's not because of me. I couldn't do it on my own. And I'll have to honestly say, I don't think anybody can. And we may fool ourselves and think we can, but we can't. I saw it kind of. There's a cool guy at school I used to bowl it. And I was out of this kid. And one of the first times I met him, we're in the auditorium at White Mountain Regional High School. And I didn't like him because of the way he walked. That was it. Okay? And I grabbed him, I pinned him in the chair, and I drove my fist back. And he says, you wouldn't hit a man with glasses on, would you? He wouldn't have said that. He would have been all right. Boy, I hit him. And I regret it. Yeah. How God can work. Mm-hmm. Years pass. Mm-hmm. Okay? Probably 3 years ago, who do I see? In a store? Mm-hmm. The same person. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with it? Walk right up to him, ask him a few minutes, and he acts happy to see me. And I'm dumbfounded. Right? I looked at him and said his name, I said, I need to apologize to you because I was nothing but a mere luck to you in high school. I'm truly sorry. And he sent me this thing. What do you deal with kids? Isn't that amazing? And I have other stories like that, so. But not for today. So, thank God he didn't keep a record wrong to me. But I had the right to keep a record wrong to somebody else. But if I do, what does that do? It hinders me from this. I just encourage y'all, don't take it lightly. Study on this with God. Meditate on it. Ask God, where am I here, Lord? What got me here? Because like the rudeness, to me it kind of falls under anger too a little bit. I could tell you why I was rude and angry, but it's not for today. Because God shows you. You spend time. What I do is I will grab a specific one. Now that ain't bad. That's usually a hard word for me to say specific. So I'll take a specific one and ask him, God, search my heart. Search my mind, God. Help me to figure this out why I am this way. And he does. He does. So now, if that same guy was here, I wouldn't care what he looks like. I wouldn't grab him, I wouldn't put him in a chair, I wouldn't hold my fist to hit him. He said, would you get a grab a glass? I'd like, no, I wouldn't. You know, that's gross. He took him off, I go. We can all do the same thing. So, with that being said, I'm not going to go any further, but please, take this into consideration. Study it. yourself, where am I on this journey with God to the mountaintop? And just remember, when you're down here in the valley, it can be just as beautiful as when you get to the top. And I know I'm very blessed. I can work on the top of a mountain. I've got an awesome view where I work, and it's absolutely gorgeous. But even from here up through, there's some really nice stuff to look at. And don't miss it. Our life is short. It really is. The journey may seem long, but life is short. So Lord, I want to thank you for sharing these things with us. To really show us in our hearts and our mind, God, where it really is. And that you want us to work on them, to grow and be more mature. And to be in love with you. Not just love you, but be in love with you. God, I thank you for the patience of these people, and I thank you for their kindness, their understanding, and their love. Lord, we just give this day to you, and can never, ever, God, thank you.